ISIS Audiobooks presents an unabridged recording of The Last Hero, written by Terry Pratchett, read by Stephen Briggs. The place where the story happened was a world on the back of four elephants perched on the shell of a giant turtle. That's the advantage of space. It's big enough to hold practically anything, and so, eventually, it does. People think that it is strange to have a turtle 10,000 miles long and an elephant more than 2,000 miles tall, which just shows that the human brain is ill-adapted for thinking and was probably originally designed for cooling the blood. It believes mere size is amazing. There's nothing amazing about size. Turtles are amazing, and elephants are quite astonishing. But the fact that there's a big turtle is far less amazing than the fact that there is a turtle anywhere. The reason for the story was a mix of many things. There was humanity's desire to do forbidden deeds merely because they were forbidden. There was its desire to find new horizons and kill the people who lived beyond them. There were the mysterious scrolls. There was the cucumber. But mostly there was the knowledge that one day, quite soon, it would be all over. Ah, well, life goes on, people say when someone dies. But from the point of view of the person who has just died, it doesn't. It's the universe that goes on. Just as the deceased was getting the hang of everything, it's all whisked away by illness or accident, or, in one case, a cucumber. Why this has to be is one of the imponderables of life, in the face of which people either start to pray or become really, really angry. The beginning of the story happened tens of thousands of years ago, on a wild and stormy night, when a speck of flame came down the mountain at the centre of the world. It moved in dodges and jerks, as if the unseen person carrying it was sliding and falling from rock to rock. At one point, the line became a streak of sparks, ending in a snowdrift at the bottom of a crevasse. But a hand, thrust up through the snow, held the smoking embers of the torch, and the wind, driven by the anger of the gods, and with a sense of humour of its own, whipped the flame back into life. And after that, it never died. The end of the story began high above the world, but got lower and lower as it circled down towards the ankient and modern city of Ankh-Morpork, where it was said anything could be bought and sold, and if they didn't have what you wanted, they could steal it for you. Some of them could even dream it. The creature, now seeking out a particular building below, was a trained, pointless albatross, and by the standards of the world, was not particularly unusual, compared to, say, the Republican bees, who committed rather than swarmed, and tended to stay in the hive a lot, voting for more honey. It was, though, pointless. It spent its entire life in a series of lazy journeys between the rim and the hub. And where was the point in that? This one was more or less tame. Its beady, mad eye spotted where, for reasons entirely beyond its comprehension, anchovies could be found. And someone would remove this uncomfortable cylinder from its leg. It seemed a pretty good deal to the albatross, and from this it can be deduced that these albatrosses are, if not completely pointless, at least rather dumb. Not at all like humans, therefore. Flight has been said to be one of the great dreams of mankind. In fact, it merely harks back to man's ancestors, whose greatest dream was of falling off the branch. In any case, other great dreams of mankind have included the one about being chased by huge boots with teeth, and no one says that one has to make sense. 3 busy hours later, Lord Vetinari, the patrician of Ankh-Morpork, was standing in the main hall of Unseen University, and he was impressed. The wizards, once they understood the urgency of a problem, and then had lunch, and argued about the pudding, could actually work quite fast. Their method of finding a solution, as far as the patrician